to keep a song in your heart all week. And you know, in 2 Chronicles, they used the singers to lead the battle.
Yes.
So
this is what we need, singing to lead the battle.
Okay.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor. Oh, we are blessed to receive another all-you-can-eat buffet in this hospital for sinners that we call church. Some of us have been or currently are sick physically, but every one of us is sick spiritually. And here we are taking advantage of the healing power of the Word of God. Today's message is titled, God Says Nothing Can Come Between Us. The text is from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8, verses 35 through 39. And this is Brother Paul speaking, and I'll be reading from the NLT. It reads as follows. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's coming from Psalms 44, verse 22. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear our very own Pastor O as he delivers a message titled, God Says Nothing Can Come Between Us.
All right.
So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
All right, got some oleum. Amen. Well, amen. Pray for, oh no, Valium. Let me see this. Oh yeah, that was me. I was hitting them high notes. So y'all gonna have to put me on the praise scene. That was my high note. Y'all need that high note, just put me on the praise scene. We'll be good to go. Amen. Brian Lang, oh Pastor, I didn't know you could hit that high note like that. Yeah. Amen. I used to sing with earth, wind, and fire. Amen. Praise the Lord, 1 John 1, 9, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, thank you for being so good and so kind to us and so gracious and so merciful and understanding and long-suffering, patient, gentle with us and all of those good things. Thank you for exercising self-control, because on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you held back whatever it is you was getting ready to do. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that prayer. Father, help this word to sink down into the hearts of your people so it's lived out in their everyday life, so that Satan will not get the victory, but understand that he is dealing with people who are more than conquerors. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart.
Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
Lord,
because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I've come here today to be transformed. Changing the way I think from my way to yours. So I can always know your good, pleasing and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, I know you guys remember all of these chapters, right? But what is the goal? The goal is to remember what's in each chapter. You don't have to remember every word, but you need to remember every chapter so that when you're talking to people about Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to bring to your remembrance, He can. We're good at memorizing verses that comfort us, that help us to get through a day, but the Lord wants us to be able to memorize a whole book. So when people are like, when people start talking to me, it's like a Rolodex in my head starts flipping. And when they say something, it stops at a place about what they're talking about. And then I can use the word of God. Because let me tell you, kind words out of place and out of sync are not really going to help people. Only the word of God can help people. Amen? We can say all the nice positive stuff we want to say, but it's the word of God that makes change in people. That is the transforming power that we talked about in that prayer. That's what transforms us. Amen? And when we speak the word of God, Satan and them get scared. Why? Because they cannot deal with that. And so God wants us to remember. So in chapter 1, Paul is writing to the Romans. He wants to, his whole book is just about two things. He wants to introduce himself to them, and he wants to let them know that only through Jesus Christ can you be saved. Okay. Only through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection can you be made right with God. Amen? And so he says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to reconcile any human being that believes that Jesus died and got back up again, according to God's word in John 3:16. All we have to do is believe. Amen? Now, the growing up part, the Lord deals with that. He'll take care of that. That's what we've been dealing with in chapters 6, 7, and 8. So in chapters 1 and 2, he brings charges against every human being on earth. And by the Jews and the Gentiles, they make up everybody on earth. So when you get to chapter 3, he concludes by saying all are under sin. And everybody kind of felt hopeless, but he said, but Jesus Christ came. God has provided a way for us to be made right with him. And that, we found out, is Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, we were justified by faith. We know that Abraham was not justified because he found God and decided to go somewhere. No, he heard what God said. He did what God said. So righteousness was imputed to him. Why? Because he did what God said. So it wasn't his own self-righteousness, but it was God's righteousness appointed to him. And then in chapter 5, in verse 1, it said, now that we've been justified, we have what? Peace with God. Amen. So chapter 5 goes all the way back to Adam. It talks about how the one man brought sin into the world and messed up everybody. And so Jesus came into the world to do what? Fix up everybody. Just as the one man tore up everybody, the other man fixes up everybody. And that man is Jesus. And so those were the happy chapters. Those were the chapters that just, hallelujah, we are saved, we are made right with God, and nothing can change that. But then we came to the responsibility chapters, the accountability chapters, amen? And what that meant was, there's a certain way that we have to live because we're saved, not to be saved, but because we're saved, okay? So he gave us the mechanics in chapter 6. We're no longer following ourselves in sin and Satan, but we've been purchased by Christ with his blood, and so now we follow after him. And then in chapter 7, we came to what we call what? The conundrum, because we found out that even though we saved, we still mess up. And we don't always mess up by mistake, we mess up on purpose. Amen? And so we found that we love God, but then we still got this problem over here. And we broke it down and said our spirit, okay, and our new nature loves God and loves to hear his word, loves to do what God says. But there's our flesh. that did not get saved, okay? And when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it gives us an explanation. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down around, starting around verse 55, it talks about this corruption must become incorrupt. This perishable must become imperishable. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that we are now citizens of heaven. And we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that God has given him that enables him, right? He is able to do what? Give us glorious bodies like the one he has. So our flesh still needs to be saved, but it ain't getting saved. It won't get saved until the rapture happens or we pass away. And then the rapture happens and we all get brand new bodies. I don't know about you, but I can use one. Amen. I can use a body where everything works right. I can use a body where stuff just don't pop up on it. I can use a body where viruses in the air don't float into your nose and have you tow up for 2 weeks. I need a body impervious to all that garbage. I need a body that don't have to wake up but just up. Amen. I want a body that I don't have to sit on the bed and pray everything working like it was last night. So we get a new body because this body is not saved. It is still a product of the earth. Ashes to ashes and what? Dust to dust. Amen. We came from this, and that's why this body loves this. This body don't know nothing about heaven. This body don't know nothing about worshiping and following God. All it knows is what it is, the earth. Amen. From dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt what? Return. But we have a new body. Not made, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, not made by human beings, but one fashioned by God. One that will not be unsaved, one that will be willing to follow God. Amen? And that's the new body. So chapter 7 just pointed out that, hey, here's the problem. You still have this human fleshly body and it loves everything on earth. But then on the other hand, chapter 8 started to tell us that those who are in Christ don't have to worry about being condemned, but those who follow after the flesh gonna reap what? Death. In other words, it just ain't gonna work for you. We get these ideas like Adam and Eve that if we feed our flesh, amen, give it what it's asking for, give it what it's desiring, our lives are going to be better. Satan came along and tricked them into believing that if they disobey God, their life going to get better. If they disobey God, they're going to go to a whole nother level. They went to a whole nother level, all right. But it wasn't the level they thought they were going to. Yes, they did become self-determining and suddenly figured out they can't even tell themselves what to do. How many times have you said, I ain't doing that, I ain't doing that, and then 10 minutes later you're asking God to forgive you? Amen? I ain't going to do that. Today I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to walk in the Word, and I ain't going to let nobody turn me around. And then we went to work. Amen? Or then the phone rang. Amen. Well, something happened, and the next thing you know, boom, it's on, and we're asking God, we 1 John 1:9. Yes. Amen. So chapter 8 gave us an option. We can follow God, and things will work out for us. Or, how many remember when we were talking about that little girl in Naaman, when Deacon Tate taught that class, and then the little girl told her master to go over here. How many of y'all remember when Naaman finally did do what God said and he got healed and Elisha didn't want no money? But his boy Gehazi was like, dude, you just gave him a healing for nothing? Man. So Gehazi say, I got to run to the crib for a minute. He got on his horse and rode down and caught Naaman and said, you know what, Naaman? Check this out. He changed his mind. He wants 200 pieces of clothes and he wants some silver and he wants all this. Amen. So what did he do? He thought that was going to make his life better, right? But what did he do? He ended up with the leprosy brought on him and his family that was on Naaman and his family. Amen. The devil always trying to make us think if we disobey God, somehow life gonna get better. It's gonna be easier. We gonna feel better. Amen. So Paul says, no, you follow after the spirit, then you're following after life. You follow after the devil and your flesh, then you're following death. Amen. In verse 17 in Romans chapter 8, he says an amazing thing. He says, we are heirs of God. Yeah. And then he also says, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But he also says, if we suffer with him, now. Amen. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Amen. About suffering for God. And what does that mean? That means saying no when your flesh wants to say yes. That means taking control of you. That means you're running this now and not your desires and not your flesh. You're running this. Yes. You're in charge. Yes. You're telling your flesh, no, we're not doing that. See, what the Lord taught me this. He said, go over, you want to do that, this thing you got up in your head, don't you? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, go over there and sit in that chair. So I sat in the chair. Guess what? My flesh couldn't do nothing. Because it couldn't get up without my permission. It couldn't cuss nobody out without my permission. It couldn't tell no lies without my permission. I had to permit my flesh to do what it wanted to do or not. And that's when I learned that we can tell ourselves no.
Okay.
It's not comfortable because we want to do what our flesh wants to do. We all in. But then the word of God is over here saying no. And like the Hebrew boys, we can eat the king's meat or not. We can bow down to the graven image or not. We can stop praying like we told us to or get thrown in the lion's den or not. It's up to us. Paul says, I keep my flesh under control. I beat it down. You ain't doing that. I don't care what you think. You ain't doing that. Do it. I ain't moving. Do it. Tell a lie. I ain't even opening my mouth. Now tell a lie without me opening my mouth. Amen. But those are hard choices to make. It sounds real easy when we talk about it in church, but no sooner than you leave it, like Jesus told Peter. Peter told Jesus, even if all these deny you, not me. Jesus said, tonight, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Oh, Jesus, I know you, Jesus, and know everything, but that ain't the thing, you know. It ain't happening. Jesus is like, all right. Amen. The devil ran. Got some permission slips. He said, did you hear what your boy said? He ain't going, I got a right to challenge what he said. He said he is not going to deny Jesus. And the Lord said, yeah, I know, I heard him. Here you go. Here you go, your permission slips. He went down there and scared Peter to death three times. And Peter forgot who Jesus was three times. Three times. Yeah. Without the Holy Spirit to aid us in our denial of the flesh, we ain't no match for the devil. None at all. Even though Adam and Eve was born in the age of innocence, okay, and there was no sin nowhere. There was nothing for them to see and repeat, okay, nothing to rehearse. Amen.
Okay.
But when God said, don't eat from that tree, he looked at Adam and Eve. He knew that they were ready to throw God under the bus. And so he came up with a plan. I need permission slips. You heard what, they heard what you said. I believe if I go down there and challenge them, if you let me use one of these creatures, because I can't use them, if you let me get in one of these creatures and let me make that creature talk, amen. He will confuse them and they will turn against you. Because our whole God created us. Let me tell you something. God created us to show the whole spiritual realm, the good angels and the bad, that he could make us a little lower than the angels. And that we would obey him, having much less knowledge than, we don't have anywhere near the knowledge they have of heaven. The near the knowledge they have of God. Amen. The people on earth couldn't even see Jesus, couldn't even hardly figure out who he was. But when they saw him, Lisa, they said, "We know you, Jesus, Son of God, who you are. Are you here to torment us before the time?" Amen.
All right.
But God says, if I put my word in their heart, if I instill my word in their heart so they might not sin against me, then he gives Satan permission slips. And this happens daily. He looks for the weakness. He looks for the areas in your life that are not surrendered to God. And then he wants to attack those areas. He ain't going to attack you where you're going to go, "The devil is alive." No, he's going to attack you where you want to go. He is not going to come and say, "You know what, instead of going to church, you need to go shopping." I'd be like, "The devil is alive." Amen. I love my wife and she girl had to pray to get me to go shopping. Amen. So hey, something, you know, he come. But if he come at me with what I like, and no matter how long I've been away from drag racing, he will still come at me. You know, you preach all year long. You can't take one Sunday off and go to the track? I'm like, dude, I'm the pastor. The pastors need fun too. Oh, I can't have fun on Saturday? Why don't you ask me to go to the track on Saturday? Well, because I can go right after the church, sir. Why you don't ask me to go on Friday? They race on Friday. Why I can't go out there and watch some testing on Wednesday? Why I got to go on Sunday? He used to get me with that on the regular. The Lord loves you. He understand. Why you give you that race car and then tell you not to race? So she'll tell you. I say, "Baby, you go ahead on to church. I'll be there." Then when I get home from the track, "What happened to you?" The Lord told me I could go racing. Praise the Lord. Amen. The devil knows us. He know where he ain't coming at us where we gonna say the devil is a lie. He coming at us where we believe the devil needs to say, "Amen, tell him the truth." Yeah, I do want to do that. I do want to go there. Amen. So Paul tells us, look, what we suffer now for Christ is not to be compared with our future glory. Remember we talked about that? Yeah, we're suffering some things. There's some places we can't go, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's some things that we cannot do, and there's nothing wrong with it. The Lord tells us that we have to even avoid the very appearance of evil. I should be concerned. In Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 10 talks about my behavior in public, in the world, and how it affects somebody else. Christians can't be lying like non-Christians because we tell them it's okay to lie. Christians can't be cussing like non-Christians. Why? Because we tell them it's okay to cuss. Amen? The Lord says that we're the what? Light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Amen? So we're supposed to be where there's darkness. We're supposed to bring what? Light. We don't go in there and turn the light down further. Amen? Amen. So we have to pay attention to what we do and what we say and how it's going to affect somebody else. You know what Jesus used to tell me, Pastor John, JT? Amen. Pastor DJ.
JT.
Pastor DJ JT. Amen. Jesus used to tell me, just, you know, my mother was here for years, B, and you know what she used to tell me? "You finna go outside. Don't you embarrass me. Don't you mess up our family name." Right, person? Amen. And then my mother and father went to heaven, and then Jesus started talking about, "Look, you finna go outside. Remember, you rep me, Pastor O. You repping me. So I don't want no road raging, because I be raising a little bit." But they get on the freeway and go 55 in the fast lane. And I'm like, I'm right up home. My wife like, "Remember who you are, Pastor O." I'm like, so now you're talking through her. Amen. But what she is reminding me is who I am, especially when I got that hat on. Amen. I got that hat on. Jesus is my boss. But I'm clowning. So that's how your boss tell you that? Amen. So we have an obligation, but it's not to the world. We have an obligation, but it's not to sin. We are obligated to make God look good. We're obligated to make people want to be Christians instead of making people become comfortable with their sins. Amen. So we have an obligation. We have an obligation to show people who Jesus are. I've heard it said that the only Jesus people are going to see is us. What kind of Jesus are they seeing when they see us? What kind of Jesus are they hearing when they hear us? Amen. So we have an obligation to the Lord. But the Lord says what he has in store for us in heaven and forever. And if you want to see it, go read Revelation 21 and 22. That's when all evil is done away with. Because in chapter 20, the Lord sent everybody to hell who wanted to go. Everybody who wanted to be separated from God, guess what? He blessed them. They separated from him forever. They wanted it, he gave it to them. I don't even have to understand what hell is or what it's like. I just know it ain't heaven. I know God ain't there. The only part of God that's there is sustaining them forever to be there. I don't want to go there. Amen. I want to go to heaven. And so I want to advertise and display God on earth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 4, that he had finished the work the Father had given him to do. And he had brought glory to his name, having finished that work. And then he said, now restore me to the position I was before the world was. I want to bring glory to Jesus wherever I am in life at all times. Amen. And yes, we might have to suffer some stuff. The crazy cashier who act like you came in there to make their day bad. You ain't even opened your mouth. I'm here to buy something and you over here on a whole nother thing. Well, I can't get on a whole nother thing with them. I have to show them another way to behave. Another way to talk. Another way to settle problems. The Bible says that love covers what? A multitude of sins. And that's a good thing. Why? Because all us sinners. Now, we sinners saved by grace. Right? And so grace should show up in our lives. Amen? In the latter part of chapter 8, where it talks about more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us, that we are more than conquerors. Over there, what he is talking about and what God wants us to know is that we can't be separated from him. One of the things that used to bother me, I wouldn't listen to a preacher that made me feel like I wasn't saved. I would get real uncomfortable with them. Because on the one hand, you're telling me I'm saved. Then on the other hand, you're telling me I ain't because I sinned. I'm troubled with what happened to Dr. Tony Evans. He sinned a sin some time ago, but I guess it just came to mind, and now he got to lead a church because he sinned. Since when did we become Catholic? Since when did we get to the... I don't even have to tell you my sins. I have to confess my sins to Jesus. In 1 John 1:9, it says that we confess our sins to him. And then when we confess our sins to one another, you better be careful who you tell your mess to. Because they might take your mess and start telling other people about your mess. And that is not two or three agreeing together to bring the power of God down to bring change. That's just gossiping. Amen? There's very few people I can confess anything I do because they'll just, yeah, pastor, you do that and that right there. The holier than thou come out. You know, you're a pastor. You shouldn't do, if they're standing there doing the same thing, but you're a pastor, you shouldn't be doing that. You're in the same place. But somehow me being in this place is a sin, but not you. Because you ain't a pastor, so you can do this. You make the whole church look bad. No, all of us do. Amen. All of us do. But the Lord says, who can bring any accusation against us if God is for us? You know, Deaconess June Rogers gave me this song, and it is simply entitled, For Me. You are for me. I got this another song by Rare Breed. It's a country guy who be rapping, but he sound good. And he had this girl come on and do it. She was featured in the song, and she says, you are with me, and you are always for me. That's what God wants us to know. Time out, brothers and sisters, for us condemning each other to hell because we caught us doing what we do. Time out for that. I feel so sorry for Dr. Tony Evans, but at the same time, I feel good. He's been at this for 48 years. I know what this is like. This is the fun part of pastor. This is the good part. It's when I leave here and the phones start ringing, or the counseling sessions that go on and on and on. Amen. That's the part that I'm not real happy with. I could do this every day. I did it every day for 2 hours from 09 to 2019. That was the fun part. I'm just talking to people about Jesus. But when I get off the radio and the phone started ringing and people called me saying stuff like, somebody told me to call you because my husband, my brother shot my husband, and they said you deal with stuff like that. I'm like, if I find a member who told you that, amen, not my morning, 8 o'clock in the morning this happened. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, there's my day. How long do you think that conversation lasts? Because Jesus will not let me off the phone until they laugh at their problem. When they laugh at their problem and they see Jesus bigger than this problem, then I can get all the sessions over. Or the guy who called me one morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. He had been shacking up for 12 years. Then I married him and his shack-up partner. They lasted 2 years. He confessed the sin that took place and they shack up, and they 12-year shack up in the second year. So now he married, he confessed his sin, Lolo. I mean, Deaconess Loretta Wells. Amen. And guess what happened? She said she can't believe a word come out of his mouth and divorced him. He was so tore up, I counseled him at 8 o'clock in the morning and sometimes in the afternoon for 3.5 years. That's pastor. That's the part you don't get to see. And where I got to be sitting on the phone with these people and then get up from there and go to work. And then deal with customers. Amen. The Lord wants us to know that there is nothing in this life that can separate us from Him. God is for us. God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. So if God did all of that, who can bring any accusation against us? And we've all had family and friends who have doubted our walk with Jesus. We've even had super duper religious people tell us because of our activities, we're not saved. I look at people as being immature. I look at people who have not grown up. When I see Christians who still cuss like they did before they got saved, I just know they're immature Christians. And Jesus says, see what work you got to do? This is where they are. Like when Sheila and I go into Mackinac, we always stop at these rest stops and then we go to the sign like little kids and we say, this is where you are. And then we look where we're going. Okay? That's the way I look at people. When I see their behavior, I say, well, Jesus, this is where they are. Heaven is where they're going. Heaven is the end result. Them being perfect. So what I need to do is work on getting them from here to there. Not Jesus going to fix them completely in heaven, but while I'm here, Ephesians tells me in chapter 4 that I am to help them mature. Amen? And so I have to get to know each and every one of you. And I have to know where you are in your walk with Jesus. And everything I do has to bring you forward. Because he's the one working on you through me. I'm not doing the work. I cannot change you. I can't change the way you think. But when you read the Word of God and you have the Word of God, it can change the way you think. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. And that's why we repeat that every Sunday. Changing the way I think. And we all have a way that we think. Ooh, that was fun. Amen. I know what the words say, but this is what I think. I know what God said, but this is what I think. Amen. But I want you to know that God did a lot for us to be saved. He had to give up his only begotten son so that we could be made right with him. There was no other way for us to be made right with him. So if God did all of that for us, who in the world can be against us? It's not Jesus. Stop thinking that Jesus mad at you. No, Jesus died for your sins so he don't ever have to be mad at you. Look, the things that we have done, are doing, and going to do, he died for all of that. And so now, all things work together for our good. He will take our mess and turn it into a masterpiece. He's literally going, what did he do for Job? Let me give you an example. Job was tore up from the floor up, wasn't he? Job said, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. Well, what happened to him? He lost all his money. He lost all his friends. He lost his status in the community. And he lost his health. All that. He feared. Right? And so the devil went and got permission slips. He said, if you let me go down there and do what I got to do, amen, he'll cuss you to your face. Well, the devil went down there. Amen. Did all that he could do. But Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when the devil made him sick where he couldn't get well, he said, well, shall we only receive good things from the Lord and not evil? Amen. And Job did not bring any railing accusation against God. Amen. See, Satan wants us, and Satan uses some of us to attack each other. Based on our behavior. Amen. How many people would have made Peter the leader of the disciples after Jesus left, after he denied Jesus three times? Amen. Amen. So the Lord wants us to know that nothing can separate us from him. Not your holy friend who holier than you and say you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing that. If you were saved, you wouldn't be doing this, you wouldn't be doing that, you wouldn't be saying that. No, they're doing that because they haven't matured in Christ yet. Kids act like kids because they kids. Paul said, when I was a child, I did what? Act like a child. When I was a child, I talked like a child. But now that I'm what? Grown up. Guess what? Paul wasn't chasing Christians no more. Amen. He had grown up. Paul wasn't getting ready to slap people no more. When you read about it, one man tried to slap him. Paul grabbed his hand and tried to slap him. And said, God gonna smite you, you whitewashed wall. See, Paul had to grow. He wasn't the Paul at that time that wrote the 13 books. He was Paul that'll knock you out if you get what made man. He was saved. But he wasn't the mature Paul. He was the immature Paul, and you could get slapped. But when he grew up, he changed. The Lord says to us something that troubles us all the time. If we have trouble in this life, if we get sick and can't get well, if we get broke and can't get paid, amen? If we just have trouble on every side, does that mean that God is not with us? And y'all know how we like to do, right? When you see people going through something, oh, they did something. That's what they did to Job. You know you did something. And guess who did it? His friends. The devil went and found some of Job's friends and harassed him for 39 chapters, accusing him of things that he had not done. We know why Job was tore up from the floor up, but they were saying God wouldn't treat nobody like this if they had not sinned. You sinned, Job, and you need to confess your sin. Job like, I wasn't doing nothing. I just woke up and was walking around. Then now my kids gone, my money gone, my cows and things gone. I ain't did nothing. I just woke up. And ever since I've been woke, one person after another coming in the house talking about, oh, Job, I hate to tell you, because the bad news you just got, but all your money gone. Oh, Job, I hate to tell you, your kids was in the house. You know they party 7 days. They all dead. Oh, Job. Dude, what's that on your body? Oh, man, let me get over here. You got balls all over you, man. Nothing but bad news.
Right, right.
Was it because Job sinned? So God sent us when we go through our stuff, when we get sick. God ain't mad at us. Amen. How do you know that God is not going to use that sickness like he used Lazarus' death? Like he used Jairus' daughter's death? Like the widow of Nain's son's death? God, when Jesus raised him up, Jesus even said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Did God make Lazarus sick? No, but Lazarus did like humans do. He got sick. And Lazarus didn't only get sick, Lazarus died. There was a girl over in chapter 9 named Dorcas. They called her Tabitha. Her name means leaping and bounding. This is Dorcas, right? She was always doing good deeds and helping people. And about that time, she died. Was it because she sinned? No. It was for God's glory. Amen. So don't let the devil trick you because of hard times. You got debt and can't seem to get out of it. Amen. You got this, you got that going on and can't seem to stop it or fix it. Or just can't find a job like Jonathan couldn't find a job for 19 months. Was it because God hated him? No. Now you got 3 jobs. Amen. The financial situation that existed then been wiped away. So when Jonathan tell that story about the 19 months without, he got another story to tell about the after the 19 months and how God built back everything and some.
Okay.
Amen. But when you're looking at him tore up for 19 months, you be like, yeah, dude, you're doing something. God don't do this to somebody for nothing. You doing something. You sinning somewhere. Or maybe you ain't pay your tithes, so God hurting you. Really? And finally, Rebecca, she just got to get in here. She like, oh, he's just going to preach by himself. Hey, man, start in Romans chapter 8, those last verses. It says that, you know, where it talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think it says, start reading.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. So you see, amen, people, your friends, the devil trying to convince you you ain't saved because your Christian life kind of ratchet. Okay. Jesus died for your sins. You're saved. You're going to heaven and ain't no way out of it. And guess what, Malachi? Guess what, Darius? You didn't save yourself. God saved you. So you can't lose your salvation. Why? Because you don't even have it. God saved you. He has your salvation. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, those that the Father have given me, I ain't lost none. So you can't be lost. And people say, well, what about the crap going on in their life? Well, Jesus is going to use that to make them better Christians, to make them better people, to turn them into who they're going to be forever. Amen. So God wants us to know, and we need to know, that we cannot be separated from him. He don't ever want to see our head hung down because we didn't sin. What he wants you to do is hurry up and run to 1 John 1:9, confess your sin, agree with God that you've sinned. And then God, once you confess, that's it for you. He forgives. He cleanses. He continues the work that he started on you when you first got saved. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are not just saved, we are super saved. You gave us Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. The debt is fully paid. Your holiness and righteousness has been fully satisfied. Your justice has worked. And so now we stand in that place of your loving kindness and mercy. And all of this is empowered by your great love for us. For you so loved the world that you gave. And so, Father, we thank you for making us permanent. Help us to remember that when the devil comes around trying to trick us and believe we ain't saved because we still clowning. Help us to remember that when the devil tried to trick us, talking about you ain't saved or you wouldn't be going through all this mess. Help us to understand that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And help us to be convinced, Father, that neither life or death, nor angels, nor demons, nor richness, or being poor, or nothing else in all creation, help us to always know none of that can ever separate us from your love. You have latched on to us and you are holding us. And as Jesus said, even if the devil could get us out of his hands, and he can't, he would never be able to get them out of your hands, Father. We are permanently in Christ. We are permanently yours.
Yes.
Help us to live like that. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the thanks, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.